This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
All right, we pick it up the day after the Astros season ends. So on to a laser-like focus on the Texans. But in relative terms, a huge game Sunday, 3-3 at 3-3 in the AFC South pillow fight. Tennessee also at 3-3. We go beat guy every week, and we are doing it right now. Texans Jaguars on the Jacksonville side of things. Philip Heilman, Florida Times Union on the Jags beat. And I promise it's only a coincidence. I don't know, Philip. We're actually meeting on the radio. So you grew up in New England, that you're a hardcore Red Sox fan. Grudging congratulations, I suppose, are in order.
Thank you. Yeah, born in Maine, lived there for quite a while, a lot of family up in New England. So tough day in Houston, but it was a fun series, and time to turn your attention, I guess, to the Texans, who have a pretty good shot at beating the Jags on Sunday.
All right, no umbrage taken. Fandom is fandom. So the Texans are 3-3, have looked epically mediocre, but I don't think anyone realistic thought they were a Super Bowl contender. The Jaguars are 3-3, and I don't know if the taking the temperature would be panic, but off the run to the AFC Championship game and starting 2-0 this year, the last month has been pretty hideous. So how do you see things these days in Jacksonville?
Yeah, hideous is a great word to describe it. I don't think the finger is on the panic button yet, but it's certainly moving closer. And a loss on Sunday, I think it would fully be there. Just a good explanation where the Jaguars are right now. Look at their tight end spot. They have one guy who played 9 snaps in his NFL debut last week. They have in Dave Greenidge. Blake Bell, they signed on Tuesday, 3 days ago, and they have a fullback who can help out. They've had a ton of injuries. Austin Kavarian Jenkins is out. Niles Paul is out. James O'Shaughnessy is out. The Jags have been banged up, and it's been, you know, certain positions that have gotten hit really hard. A couple of left tackles out. They're down to a guy in Josh Walker who's really a guard. They signed Eric Flowers away from the Giants, who another guy, hideous is the right word to describe that. So a lot of injuries, a lot of poor performance. That 2-0 start feels like it was ages ago, and right now the Jaguars are limping, and that might be describing it kindly.
Yeah, losing Cam Robinson, their left tackle for the year. Flowers may actually start. Is that true? A guy who was a big stiff of a bust with the Giants, who's saying he's happy to be in a good locker room and in Jacksonville, should be happy to be gainfully employed more than anything else, I suppose.
I would be shocked if he's even active. Okay. He was inactive last week. I still think just a week to bring a guy like that in. He seems like more of a long-term project. They've got, they're in London the week after the Texans and the Jags have a bye. So my guess is if they're going to get anything out of Flowers, it'll be after that week 9 bye. Certainly, I would be shocked if he plays this week. And if that's the case, you know, I think Clowney and Watt and Merciless might have an absolute field day.
I was going to add the Giants benched Flowers starting with the Texans game, thinking he'd be hopefully overmatched trying to deal with a Clowney or a Watt. All right, so O-line issues. You alluded to the pass-catching core. Leonard Fournette, what's the deal with the hamstring? I presume he's going to miss again. And then so while there are explicatory factors with Blake Bortles, I'm thinking the story after last season that, you know, he's had this real wrist problem and now he's feeling healthier and better than ever and ready to make the leap. No, I'm thinking he's just Blake Bortles.
That's the thing is, around, you know, nationally it sounds like, oh, there's a good Blake Bortles and there's the bad Blake Bortles. There's the, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's not the case. He is both. He's the good Blake Bortles and the bad Blake Bortles. He's the Dr. Jekyll and he's the Mr. Hyde. All the time. From week to week, you never know which one's going to show up. The only thing that's consistent about the guy is that he's inconsistent. So 5 interceptions over the last 2 games. He's playing pretty well before that. So you really never know when the train's going to derail, and then you never really know when the train suddenly is going to be back on the tracks and chugging along just fine. He won't have Leonard Fournette this week. The Jaguars ruled him out. He's one of 3 players they've ruled out today. That's 3 straight games for Fournette with the right hamstring strain, 5 overall. As I said before, the Jags are going to London after the Texans, so I can't imagine they're going to ask him to get on that long flight over the pond and play against the Eagles. So it sounds like it's going to be 4 straight for him. Maybe he's back after the bye when they play Indianapolis. But, yeah, it's an atrocious offense. It really is. It was an offense that, you know, didn't have much margin for error coming in. They took some gambles. They moved on from Mercedes Lewis, a guy who certainly wasn't dynamic at that point in his career, but you knew what you were getting from him at the tight end spot, and signed Austin Seferian Jenkins. That hasn't worked out. He's on IR. They didn't really address the running back position behind Fournette. They could have drafted somebody late in the draft, which I thought they should have. They didn't do that. They've got T.J. Yeldon running okay. Corey Grant was sort of the change of pace guy. He's out. So a lot of problems for the Jaguars, a lot of problems for Blake Bortles, and, yeah, no Fournette again this week.
Philip, flip side, the defense was truly great last year. They're second best in yards allowed so far this season, number 9 in scoring defense. And, hey, the Chiefs score on everybody, so I don't want to say they held Kansas City to 30, but that in itself isn't horrific. But 40-7 against the Cowboys. Where is the defense at, a defense that began and ended last regular season by completely destroying the Texans?
Yeah, it's a defense that definitely, I think, had a come-to-Jesus meeting on Monday. Defensive coordinator Todd Walsh talked about that yesterday, and he took a lot of the brunt on himself. He said that he feels like he's gotten too cute, and you could sort of see it. The Jags brought back essentially everybody from their defense. They switched Aaron Colvin for DJ Hayden, but aside from that, pretty much everybody was back. Todd Walsh was back, so it felt like he was getting, you know, maybe outsmarted himself a little bit. He was dropping Ngakoue, their talented defensive end, into coverage. He was dropping defensive tackles into coverage. He was, you know, just doing different things that the Jaguars didn't do last year when they were racking up all those takeaways, when they were racking up all those sacks. And he basically said, hey, I've got to just go back to what was working. I've got to, you know, stop trying to, you know, outsmart opponents. We've got the athletes here. We've got the guys who can do it by just letting them go do what they need to do. And, you know, they certainly they need to get back to the defense they were last year if they're going to have, you know, really any hope of winning this division. Again, as mediocre as it is, the offense can't really handle its, you know, weight right now. But, yeah, last week was a drubbing. You look at that Kansas City game, they did give up 30 points, but only 23 from the defense. Bortles threw a pick six, so that really wasn't all that bad. But Dak Prescott came out there and carved them up like he was Michael Vick in his prime, running the ball and passing like he was Joe Montana. So it was, yeah, certainly a horrific show, and I think probably the worst game that Jaguars defense has played over the last 2 years. And they think they can get back to being the defense they were. They're always a confident group. I'm not so sure they're going to reach the level they were at last year, but it certainly is the side of the ball that has to take care of them, or they're in a lot of trouble.
Well, the Texans' offensive line stinks, especially in pass protection. Do you think this is a week the Jaguars should get off? I mean, did Calais Campbell have his last great year last year? You referenced Ngakoue. I mean, they are teaming seemingly with guys who should be able to make for a tough day for Watson.
Yeah, those two guys have been pretty good. Campbell and Ngakoue both have 4 sacks this season, which ties for the team lead. Ngakoue got off to a little bit of a slow start, but a couple sacks each of the last 2 games. Campbell's questionable to play with. He's just kind of banged up. I mean, he's 32. You sort of get the hip and the ankle and other, you know, sort of ailments. But he's been good. I think he's their best run defender in addition to being a pass rusher. And, yeah, just watching the film on the Texans and, you know, you see Deshaun Watson sacked 25 times. So this isn't a game where the Jaguars can get back to being that quote-unquote Saxonville that they were last year and get 4 or 5, maybe 6 sacks, then, you know, you really start to wonder if they're going to ever get back to that group. They've got 14 this year. Ngakoue and Campbell are playing well, but they really don't have anybody else playing well around them. Dante Fowler has been an afterthought. He's a guy who's going to be gone after this season. Malik Jackson's been okay, but certainly not the Pro Bowl level he was last year. And Marshall Darius, the guy they traded for last October to stop the run, he's helped their run defense, but really hasn't brought much as a pass rusher. So it's really a two-man race right now between Campbell and Ngakoue, and they're waiting for somebody else to step up.
You look at the Jaguars' road schedule, Miami, maybe. They don't face a good team on the road the rest of the year. At Indy, at Buffalo, at Tennessee, at here to end the regular season. Yet if they lose Sunday, that's 0-2 at home within the division. So I think week 7 must win is a bit of a trite phrase, but how do you see it? And ultimately, do you expect the Jaguars to respond and win Sunday?
Yeah, I talked to strong safety Barry Church about that very thing yesterday, and he's one of the voices I respect most in the locker room. He said, hey, I'll call it what it is. It's about as close to a must-win game as you can get this time of the season. You don't want to go 0-2 in the division. You don't want to go down 3-4 going to London against an Eagles team that, you know, despite never having been there, obviously is talented. And you don't want to, you know, start to have a 3-game losing streak and the snowball really to get downhill, which it seems like it's very capable of doing. I've been picking the Jags quite a bit. I was a big believer going into the season. I like the talent they had on defense, but I'm picking against them this week. I've got Texans winning somewhere in the 23-14 range. I just think the Jaguars are too banged up on the offensive line. They don't have enough playmakers, and unless their defense just has a completely, you know, game-changing, disruptive, knock Deshaun Watson out of the game type performance, I just struggle to find any way where the Jaguars have a path to scoring points.
Philip Hyland on the Jaguars beat for us, Florida Times Union. Hey, appreciate the time and insight. Congratulations on your Sox. And perhaps we'll catch up ahead of the rematch later in the year.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
All right, we have our final break to get in. Coming back, A.J. Hinch and Alex Bregman to be heard from. Probably have time to wedge a call or two in as well before we hand off top of the hour on ESPN 97.5 to the usual suspects on SportsMap 94.1, Stephen A. Smith's ESPN radio show.